you feel after you've had time to process everything. It almost becomes an old friend after a while, less like a burden and more like the reassuring weight of an old hoodie. Bitterness is twisted that way. You know that it's a bad feeling. You know that in the long run, it's going to make you miserable, but you just can't let it go. In the Bible, bitterness is used in many different ways. The definition of bitterness, as translated in Ephesians 4:29-32, means bitter resentment. Paul says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you." The writer of Hebrews uses the same word for bitterness in chapter 12, verses 14 through 15. "Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." If you have listened or watched the news recently, then you know about the terrorist organization known as ISIS, ISIL, or the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant. In the past couple of days and weeks, ISIS has stolen planes, kidnapped children, and beheaded both Christians and non-Christians. There's so much evil happening in our world, and we don't always understand why. We feel this justified bitterness towards people that we don't know, and we don't have the desire to get to know them. Why should we? They want to kill us. They don't want to get to know us. They hate us, and for that, we feel we have this right to hate them and to feel this bitter resentment towards them. In my own life, I've witnessed the effects of bitterness. My parents got divorced when I was 4. I lived with my grandparents for 2 years, and then I lived with my dad and my stepmother for 4 or 5 years. During those 4 or 5 years, I witnessed and experienced things that no child should have to go through. I experienced hatred from my stepmother that I didn't deserve, and I experienced a betrayal from my dad that I didn't understand. When I was experiencing these events and circumstances, I wasn't angry. I don't remember feeling hurt. I just remember feeling that I wanted to be loved. As I got older, that's when I started to realize that I felt bitterness in my heart. Bitterness has this sneaking way of sneaking into your heart, and you don't know it's there until it's too late. It develops over time, and it's like a thorny vine that just envelops your heart, and it takes all the joy and all the good things out of your life before you know it. Anytime you think of this person, or most of the time it's all you think about, you realize that there is no goodness that you can think of. As a teenager and college student, I didn't understand why I was so angry, why I was so angry with my dad and my stepmother. I forgave them. I forgave them many years ago. I've come to realize that there's a slight difference between forgiveness and bitterness. Whenever you have an unforgiving heart, you're placing blame on someone and you're harboring hatred towards them. Whenever you harbor a bitter root, that's whenever you have a deep-seated ill will. You want nothing good for this person. Whenever God blesses this person, you're like, why? Why would you do that? Do you not know what they've done? This happens to me a lot. Have you ever been around a person whenever, it doesn't matter what they say, they could tell you 2 + 2 = 4, Matthew was an apostle of Jesus, and you would be like, no, you're wrong. Or you just ignore them. That happens too. Nate told me a story when he was in high school about this kid that he did not get along with. He had nothing in common with this kid, and he had no desire to hang out with him or anything. One day, he overheard that this kid liked a band called They Might Be Giants. That's what he said, I don't know. But when he heard that this kid liked the band that he had loved since he was about 5 years old, he decided he no longer liked this band. So for 4 years, Nate didn't listen to this band. He had nothing to do with it because every time he did, he thought of this kid that he didn't like. And then he realized that that was ridiculous and I guess started listening to them again?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. But sometimes it's not somebody that we don't like. Sometimes it's somebody that we love, that we have trusted and they've broken our trust. And we just have this bitterness towards them that we just can't let go, and it's strangling us like a thorny branch. A lot of times we feel like we have a right to be bitter, that we have this justified bitterness towards someone. I hate to tell you this, but it doesn't exist. I tried to convince God of that it did, and he was like, no. So, I tried. It may not be something that we like, but the same God who died for your sins and sent his son to die on the cross also sent his son to die for the people that you don't like. For the terrorist organization known as ISIS, he died for all of them too. I went ahead of myself. And it might be hard for us to grasp sometimes because we might be thinking, I've never murdered anybody. And you don't know what I've been through. You don't know how many times this person has hurt me over and over and over again. I get it. It's something that I've had to deal with for most of my life, is having to re-forgive somebody for the same thing that they do over and over and over again. But how many times does God do that for us? God understands that you get hurt, that you feel this bitterness. But whenever you harbor this bitterness, it's not against someone else. It's not against the person that you're bitter towards. It hurts you. It hurts your relationship with God. And the other person may not know, and they may not care that you don't like them. But if you harbor this bitter root, it just hurts you, and it brings you down, and it swallows you up. Whenever you decide to let go of your bitterness, that's one of the first steps to making sure that you and God are in the right place. It's to help you have a better relationship with him. A lot of times, I feel like we act like Jonah. If you forgot the story, God calls Jonah to go to the Assyrians. He doesn't, gets swallowed by a fish, and ends up going anyway. He preaches repentance to the people of Nineveh, and my favorite part of the story is actually in chapter 4. The people have repented, and Jonah is mad. It says, starting in verse 1, "But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, 'Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live.' But the Lord replied, 'Is it right for you to be angry?'" You see, it kind of makes me laugh because Jonah's mad because God is gracious and forgiving to people that he doesn't like. And a lot of times today, we do the same thing. We're like, God, why are you forgiving them? Why are you letting them have this high position? Why are you letting them be a leader in the community whenever they don't deserve it? We focus on them instead of focusing on our heart that has become bitter. It is going to become wrapped up in this bitter, thorny vine. When God does something good in somebody else's life, we also harbor bitterness towards God. We still expect good things to come to us, but we say, God, you can't help them. They're bad. They're bad news. You don't understand what they've done. He does. He knows them. He knows their heart. Jesus says in Matthew 5:23-24, that therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. When someone has something against us, we're called to stop, to think about it, and then to go and to make it right, to become reconciled to them. I think the same applies whenever we have something against somebody else. Because how can our heart be in the right place how can our heart be in the right place? How can we go to God whenever our heart's full of bitterness towards somebody else? God doesn't want just our slightly, I'm there for you, God, I gotcha. But he wants us at our best. He's called us to love our neighbors. He's called us to love our enemies, because it's easy to love your neighbors. Earlier today, I said that God was forcing me to deal with some personal issues. Like I said, I lived with my dad and my stepmother, and I was abused for 4 or 5 years. My dad made a promise to me that he would always be there for me, no matter what. And then I was in and out of psychiatric homes because obviously there was something wrong with me. Finally, I ended up in a residential treatment facility, and that's long-term care for messed up children. But you see, it wasn't my fault. And it wasn't until I got older that I realized this. You see, I had been told all my life that it was my fault. That the reason that all of these bad things that had happened in our lives, in my family's lives, was my fault. My sister was born with a cleft lip, and for the longest time, I thought it was my fault. I then realized that it wasn't whenever I was about 12. Whenever I was in the residential treatment facility, I went home for Christmas one year. I was allowed to go home for a day. And I remember going home, and I didn't have a room anymore. And like I said earlier, I didn't feel resentment then. I felt betrayal. I was hurt because I was like, am I not good enough? What did I do wrong? It was later whenever that bitter root started to grow. I wrote a letter to my dad recently. And I didn't hash out everything that had happened in the past because that's not what I needed to do. That's happened. I did forgive him for that. What I needed to do was apologize for what I had done, for harboring this bitter root against them, for saying that I didn't want anything good to happen in their lives. God wouldn't let me come here today if I didn't try and reconcile with my family, with my demons that I have to face. And so I asked for forgiveness, and I haven't received a response from that letter. I may never receive a response, but that's not why I wrote it. I didn't write it to become right with them. I didn't write it to say, now it's your turn. It's your turn to apologize. I think we do that a lot. We like do that whole like wait for them to apologize thing, and then they don't, and then we don't, and it's a nasty cycle. But I think that now that I've written that letter, I've sent it off. It's out of my hands. It's not up to me anymore. It's in God's hands. We live in a broken and fallen world. So there's going to be times in our lives when stuff happens to us that we may not deserve it, but it happens. It's a sad reality that we face. Sorry. At this time, I'm going to give everybody here an opportunity to search their heart. I really want everybody here to look into yourself, into your heart, and decide if you're harboring bitterness, whether it's to someone you hate or if it's somebody that you love that has broken their trust with you. If there's any bitterness or resentment that you need to let go of, it may not happen overnight. Actually, it won't. It won't happen overnight. It's built up too long. But if you just give God the chance to work in you, to do a work in you, he can make you brand new. For the rest of this chapel service, I have asked some of the faculty and staff members if they don't mind going to the back into the hallway. I've asked Ned Escalvon, Crystal Radiker, Dr. Stepp, Mark Worley, Eric Hinton, and Brian Horn, if they won't mind going out there so that they can be available to pray with you. Because I've seen prayer work. In the past few months, I've seen how prayer can change lives. It can heal. If you ask Dr. Fish, his granddaughter's doing much better, by the way. She's off the oxygen. The doctors didn't think that would happen until today. I believe that prayer can work in your lives, even if you've harbored this bitter root for so long that you think that it's become a part of you, that it's comfortable like an old hoodie. So there's going to be 2 more songs at the end of the service, and I do ask that if you feel like you need time to pray, that you need someone to talk to help you get closure in your life so that you can be right with God, then I ask you to go out. Maybe you need to write a letter. And like I said, I don't know how it was received. I don't even know if they read it. I really don't care, because that's not why I did. God should always be your number one priority. And it's hard sometimes. I mean, Jonah, obviously, he was a prophet for God. The people of Israel, was it Israel or Judah? My bad. I didn't look that up, sorry. they saw him as this mighty prophet for God. God wanted to use him, and he said no. But he ended up going anyway. Had to take a detour through a fish, but whatever. But like I said, one thing that I know works is prayer. It can start healing a bitter soul. It can start getting you the grace that you need to give to other people. So at this time, I'm going to offer a prayer and then hand it back over to the worship team. God, I thank you that even in the difficult times or the times when we don't want to come to you, that you're still there. I ask that you take away all bitterness and resentment, God, so that we can receive your love and grace. I know there's a lot of hurt in our world, and within this room, we face so much pain, God. But you can take all of that away if we just look to you and seek your face. You are Jehovah Jireh and Jehovah Rapha, the God who provides and who heals. I ask that you provide comfort and peace in this place and healing for what has taken place in the past to help us move forward into your grace, God. Help us to be open to your grace and to love others as you have called us to. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.